It's the Daily Dispatch in discussion with Darren Mann.
It is the Daily Dispatch in discussion with Darren Mann. Tensions have risen over the proposed shipment of live animals out of East London to Kuwait and Saudi Arabia for slaughter. 56,000 sheep, 1,500 cattle, 200 goats aboard the animal carrier Al Masila. The Agri Eastern Cape president, Peter Kluter, joins us now. Peter, you've had a look at what's going on in the harbour. Tensions have risen. People are getting heated. Give us your sense of what's going on.
Yeah, morning, Darren. Thank you. Darren, I don't know why there's such a hype, you know. Animals get bred for slaughter. People eat meat, and whether they get slaughtered here or elsewhere, that is the game of the animal trade. I can assure you that I was on the boat yesterday with the Premier. It's like a five-star floating feedlot. Animals are well looked after, lots of food, fresh water, and the difference is they're floating across the sea to their final destination, not being slaughtered locally. Obviously, they probably are pressures from, I don't know what you want to call them. I'd call them green people would be probably below the belt, but animal rights activists would probably be the more correct term. A lot of these people just don't understand business, Darren. At the end of the day, we as farmers need to make money. The current local price for livestock is unsustainable for us to produce it at. We just can't stay in business like it is. So we have to look for alternate markets. There is a lot of meat that is exported in the frozen form. It obviously comes at an exorbitant cost. So cost comes into the equation wherever you go. There are also religious requirements where people want to slaughter them as the sun comes up. And, you know, I'm not going to go into detail of that. I think you understand what I'm talking about. And if they don't source them from us, they're going to source them elsewhere in the world. So, for us, obviously, it's vital that the animals get treated correctly. We've been to the feedlot. We've been involved in this since 2019. This is a sixth shipment. It's worth, in total, 1.2 billion rand to the province's economy, which is huge. And the feedlot in Berlin, run by the Pages, is professional. Animals stand in good conditions. They fed well. Nobody's going to go put 55,000 sheep into a feedlot and maltreat them and starve them or take their water away, because you take any of that away and you affect the production of the animal. So it's in everybody's best interest to treat the animal as well as possibly can be treated.
Peter, it's well documented. There's evidence, photographic evidence, video evidence. The ship that was in Cape Town recently, hardly a floating hotel. If anyone goes into a hotel like that, well, it's a hotel from hell.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but you must understand there was a problem. That boat had been turned around from its destination. It wasn't ideal. It got brought into the harbour. They're obviously not allowed to clean the decks in the harbour. And you can imagine that amount of animals standing in the harbour under those conditions. There's excrement and urine everywhere. It's going to smell out at sea. The pens are cleaned and rinsed and washed on a daily basis, and you're obviously not allowed to do that in port. So it wasn't ideal. We need to accept that, but it also wasn't normal conditions, Darren.
So the animals just need to put up with that in the meantime?
Well, what can you do? You can't disembark them. You're not allowed to because of security issues. Unfortunately, that boat got turned around from its final destination because of troubles on international waters. The crises arise in the world and you've got to make the best of the situation. I understand it's emotional and it didn't smell good and it wasn't great, but it's not the norm, Darren, by all means.
I haven't seen photographs of the animal carrier, the Al Masila, that is in East London at the moment. You've personally boarded it. You give us your assurance here and now that you're satisfied with the way those animals are being treated and the way they're being housed.
100%. We were on there yesterday. We walked through the decks. The sheep had been on the boat for about an hour, the ones we saw. They were grazing. They were drinking water. They were quite comfortable. It's obviously new surroundings to everybody. But when an animal grazes and drinks water, it tells you that it is settled and comfortable. Otherwise, they just don't eat there. And so I can assure you, I'm more than happy with what I saw yesterday.
There have been reports that there are pregnant animals which have been loaded onto the boat.
Not likely. There's a lot of hype about it. The tragedy with scanning animals is that you can only see at 6 weeks of age whether an animal is pregnant when you scan it. The animals were scanned before they went into the feedlot. and they were obviously showed negative at the time. But if she was a day or two pregnant, you wouldn't have picked it up. So they have been scanning some of the animals, which they suspect. And I think they found four out of, I don't want to get misquoted here, but out of a couple of hundred. And how far pregnant they were, I can't tell you, but I can assure you they couldn't have been much more than 6 weeks, because those animals have been in the feedlot for about 4 weeks. And if they were scanned the day they were brought in or the day they were bought, it would not have shown that they were pregnant, because technology doesn't allow it.
Peter, the state veterinarian, Dr. Mpumelelo Zondi, and the NSPCA veterinarian, Dr. Bryce Marrock, have confirmed the presence of pregnant animals. They've also said that there were injured and malnourished animals amongst those in the feedlot.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, we can't confirm. I said to you myself that they have picked up one or two pregnant animals. I was there yesterday. I found for 40 years. I never saw anything on the point of lambing. If it did, it shouldn't have been there. And I don't know how it got there, because they were scanned pre them coming in. Injured animals, it's by nature. An animal, when you're moving them, an odd one or a run and bump it or climb into a fence, it happens. They're not hundreds of thousands of animals. Darren, I come back to my simple answer to you. Nobody maltreats anything, because if you do, you lose money. It's in nobody's interest. You buy an animal at 30 kilograms and your goal is to sell it at 40 or 50 kilograms, and the worse you treat it, the slower it takes to get to that weight and the more money it costs you. So the hype that goes with it needs to be taken with a pinch of salt. And those of us who have farmed all our lives, I mean, we are not butchers by any means. It's our livelihood, and it's in our interest to treat animals as well as we can.
You're referring to the financial side of things quite heavily during the course of our discussion, Peter. Does financial responsibility trump the welfare of the animals? Profit over animal well-being, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Probably one and one, and your direct answer is no. However, there is no maltreatment of these animals. If they stood in a feedlot in South Africa on a farm or wherever and got slaughtered locally, they're not being maltreated by any means. And I think this is what needs to be, the emotion needs to be taken out of this whole debate. I challenge anybody who knows animals and who has farmed for all their lives to go and have a look and tell me that these animals are being maltreated as a whole. I mean, they've been sharing the animals. By nature, when you share an animal, it gets a nick. It happens. It's how life goes. And it's no different to anything you see anywhere else in the world.
Peter, but again, we come back to the images that people have seen. The boat in Cape Town that we referred to a little earlier. These are the photographs that people see, and this is the condition that they see the animals in. And it does become emotional, because people don't like to see animals maltreated.
Well, I can understand that, Darren. I can understand that wholeheartedly. And as I said, and I'll stand by my statement, what happened in Cape Town was not the norm. Those animals should have been off the boat long before it ever got turned back to Cape Town. Why it came into the Cape Town port, I don't know. It obviously needed food to reach its destination, I should imagine, for the animals, or maybe water. In a normal voyage, everything's taken care of. Everything's precisely worked out. They have a surplus of food and water so that they can, if they're held up for a few days. But you can understand, being turned back from halfway around the world, you're going to have to dock somewhere to take care of the welfare of the animals. And very difficult to say to people who actually don't understand how animals work and the livelihood of farming and that. I mean, there is no malice and maltreatment anywhere here. And I state once again, we need to take the emotion out of this equation and accept it, that everybody is doing it in the best interests of the animal, because that is where you make your most money if you treat the animal well.
No, fair enough, but we also need to accept that the National Council of SPCAs has raised serious concerns about the welfare of the animals, and that is their business. They're the experts. They wouldn't make that up.
Sure, but you've also got to understand that there are ulterior motives. You've got to understand that there are people funding these organizations for different reasons. And like anywhere in the world, you know, you get some people who might say, well, why do you drive a motor car? Because the accident's on the road. Life, we don't live in a perfect bubble here, and people do things to the best of their ability for the animal's welfare and to make the deal work. I know the talk is to slaughter more animals. There's a huge amount of animals that do go out in slaughtered form. And as the capacity grows and we can get a more local cold storage facility in the province at the moment. The animals have to be trucked up to Johannesburg and flown out of there. It's just not conceivable to do it on a large scale. But it is coming, Darren, and it's going to take a while to get it to happen, but it is going to happen in time.
Tensions have risen. I understand there was a physical altercation. I'm not sure if you were aware of that, between the manager of the feedlot and an NSPCA inspector a couple of weeks ago. And I see the Makanda High Court has ruled that the NSPCA was within its mandate and rights, as endorsed by the Constitutional Court, and in terms of its warrant, to examine all animals in the feedlot and the conditions under which they were being held. They were being prevented from doing that.
Yeah, Darren, I'm not going to go down that road. It's a private matter, and I think it will be dealt with accordingly. I don't think we need to get sucked into something that's got nothing to do with me.
No, no, fair enough. I'm just asking for your comment on it, because we're talking about people who are trying to make a living from this, and then we have the experts from the NSPCA who, in terms of the law, are allowed to examine and are being prevented from doing that.
Yeah, I think you need to take it with a pinch of salt.
The court's ruled. It's not a pinch of salt, Peter.
No, I understand what you're saying, but you talk of experts. The people there are not all experts, that I can tell you. And the court ruled, and the people were, and they are there. I was there yesterday. The NSPCA is doing their work. They weren't being obstructive. And their job is to see the welfare of the animal, but certainly not to be obstructive.
Peter, just in closing, 56,000 sheep, 1,500 cattle, and 200 goats going aboard the Al Masila in this particular shipment. That would indicate some level of crowding. Give me an idea of how much space each animal would typically have. You happy with it?
Yes, well, I haven't seen the cattle on. They're only getting loaded today. The sheep, it's all worked out scientifically and correctly, and there was more than enough space for the animals to move around and to graze freely. I am more than comfortable with it, Darren.
Agri Eastern Cape President Peter Kluter, thank you for joining us on the Daily Dispatch and discussion today, sir.
You're welcome, anytime.
We continue our discussion now about the heated debate over the export of South African livestock from the East London Harbour. 56,000 sheep, 1,500 cattle and 200 goats aboard the animal carrier Al Masila. We're joined by the president of Ban Animal Trading South Africa, Dr. Smaragde Louw. You're at the East London Harbour at the moment, Smaragde. Tell us what's going on.
Good morning, Darren. Yes, at the moment, the animals are being loaded. We are not allowed onto the harbour and close to the ship. So we kind of try and find spots where we can see what is going on. But we are observing all these trucks with literally like 800 sheep at a time coming past and being loaded onto that ship. At the moment, however, there's also another ship in the harbour. And this ship, the Murray Express, is taking about 600 or 800, I'm not exactly sure, cows to Mauritius. And they're loading now as well. And then somewhere in April, towards the 13th or the 15th of April, there's another ship coming from Indonesia that's going to come and load animals here. We'll have to see where they're going. But that is what is happening here at the moment.
So Ban Animal Trading, otherwise known as BAT, B-A-T, are protesting against the export at the harbour. Why are you protesting? Is it against the conditions? Is it against export per se? What are the main basis for your objections?
You know, coming from an animal rights perspective, our philosophy and underlying philosophy has always been and will always be that animals are not there for us to use to our benefit, to the benefit of humans. So, yes, this is, you know, we are against the killing of any animal for food, which this one is all about. However, the conditions that we put these animals through, if we look up at the welfare side of things, the conditions that we're putting these animals through, to travel for, I don't know, 2-3 weeks on a ship where they lie in their own feces. We all saw the pictures of the ship in Cape Town with the cows who were being taken to Iraq. How is that okay in any welfare sense? That makes absolutely no sense. And we are against the slaughter of animals. But if it's about the economy in South Africa, as Mr. Oscar Mabunyani was saying yesterday, it's about Eastern Cape's economy and so on, then why are the animals being taken to another country to be killed? Why are they not killed here? Because surely, if it's about economy, that would give workers, that would give people more job opportunities and so on. And that's exactly what he said to us yesterday. He said, no, the only reason we are exporting live animals is because East London does not have the capacity to kill, well, he was very offended with that, to slaughter, he said, to slaughter so many animals. So they are working on it. I haven't seen anything like that. And he said that he sees no reason why the animals should be exported once the abattoirs are up and running. So I'm failing to understand this whole issue, because we thought it was about culture, right? But that doesn't seem to actually play a role anymore. I'm not sure.
I've spoken with the Agri Eastern Cape president, Peter Kluter, a few minutes ago. He described the conditions as a floating five-star hotel for the animals.
I'm sorry, you know what? It's a laugh with a tear, because that is absolute nonsense. That cannot be true. How is lying in your own feces, seeing your own kind die right next to you, five-star condition? Mr. Kluter clearly doesn't know what he's talking about, because he was in his conversation with the SABC yesterday, his interview with him, he compared the sheep export to a car export. That's how little regard they have for the welfare of animals. He's also the one on Agriculture Eastern Cape, Agri EC's Facebook page, who says that there were no welfare concerns observed yesterday during the loading. We managed to capture one picture. We couldn't capture them all, but we managed to capture one picture of a dead sheep lying on a truck going back to the feed lot. And there's no cruelty. There's no welfare concerns, really.
How do you counter the economic argument? A number of 1.2 billion rand has been bandied about. This is what these exports are worth to the province.
Well, you know, Darren, I don't know what to make of this, because some of the people from the Premier's office yesterday were actually telling us that this has nothing to do. This export is not a government export. This is a private export. And Mr. Bruce Page's name was directly mentioned, and he said, this is a private export between Bruce Page and a company in Kuwait. That was it. So I don't see, if this is indeed a private export, how 1.2 billion is actually going to come to the Eastern Cape province. How's that possible? They'll probably get taxes and so on, but that's it. So, you know, surely that money can be plowed back into the Eastern Cape by creating job opportunities for the people in East London.
I am interested in how we enforce the provisions of South Africa's Animal Protection Acts, because I see that the NSPCA had to go to the High Court in Makanda this past week to have its rights endorsed, as endorsed by the Constitutional Court, and in terms of its warrant, to examine all animals in the feedlot and the conditions under which they're being held. It seems like organisations like NSPCA, like Ban Animal Trading and other activist groups, are not being given the opportunity to observe in full what is going on.
Oh, absolutely, 100%, Darren. I mean, this is what, you know, compassionate people who care about animals are actually faced with when they come to a place like this. Is number one, the NSPCA has to go to court. Number two, we, Ban Animal Trading, is chased away from, we didn't leave, but we are chased away from a public property and said we're not allowed to be there. The spokesperson for
Oscar Mabuyane, the Premier, yeah.
Mabuyane, yes, Mr. Mabuyane. His spokesperson yesterday, when he heard that we were opposed to the live export, really, you know, was very short of saying, please leave. But Mr. the Premier told us, please go home now. So this is what we face with. If everything is so hunky-dory and everything is so fine, why this battle? Why can't we see what's happening to the animals? What is the problem? I don't see that this is going to stop anytime soon. I know the NSPCA is going to court soon to try and ban live exports completely. If they succeed with that, then goodness, thank you, it's all over. If, however, that doesn't happen, we are stuck. I mean, it's literally within, you know, as I said at the beginning, we've got two ships at the harbour now and another one on its way to come and collect more animals to be killed for food somewhere else. So this is just getting more and more and more. And I think with the opposition that live exporters are facing in places like, for example, Australia and New Zealand, you know, it's just easier to come here because South Africa is really a free-for-all.
We're going to leave it there. The president of Ban Animal Trading, BAT, Dr. Smaragdalo, joining us on the Daily Dispatch in discussion today. Thank you so much for your time. Hope we catch up soon.
Thank you, Darren. Thank you so much.
That was the Daily Dispatch in discussion with Darren Mann.